You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
You know, he's right, Matt. Ross Baker is absolutely right. This is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things, and I am your host. He's absolutely right. Way to go.
God damn, I forgot. I almost forgot about Baker.
I actually forgot his name the other day. Somebody was talking to me about voiceover work, and, you know, obviously, if you guys haven't caught on by now, Ross Baker actually did those in, you know, one sitting. He put all those takes together and gave them to us. So I don't talk to Ross all that often, and I completely forgot his name. I felt like a shitbag because he is the official third member of the team, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's a guy I know in Reno that does stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what's his name? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at least you only forgot his name, though. I forgot his being. Like, I just forgot his existence, so that makes me far
worse. Yeah, you hear that, Ross? I still remember that you exist, at least. So, if you're listening to this...
Yeah, my bad.
But this is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. It feels like you and I have not sat down and podcasted in quite a while, my friend.
If you told me that 6 months had passed since we last did this, I'd have no choice but to believe you because of how horrible I am with remembering periods of time. Like, it has felt like a long time.
Yeah, it's funny. I was earlier today, I was recording a podcast. I was a guest on somebody else's podcast, and I was talking about you. And I was saying how nice it is to have a co-host that when I wouldn't say I've been slacking. I've been very busy, as have you. But when I have not reminded him for like a week that it's time to record, that he's pretty much like, dude, what the hell's going on? Why aren't we recording anything? So I applaud your efforts in keeping us honest.
And then that guy was like, oh, cool. What's your co-host's name? And you're like, I don't know.
It was like, it's Ross Baker something. I don't.
Yeah. No, I was beginning. I was thinking the other day. I was like, "Am I fired? Did I get fired off of this fucking podcast?"
You know, it's probably if you were fired, that's probably how I'd handle it. I probably just wouldn't tell you.
Just stop talking.
Yeah, I think
to
that's
me.
The way I'm going to handle it. Whenever it's time to part ways, I'll just start doing podcasts by myself. And then when you're like, "Hey, when are we recording next?" I would just be like, "I don't know what you're talking about.
Who are you?" Yeah, that'll be good. That'll go over well. So what you said that you've been busy. I've known about quite a bit. Sam's been doing a ton. I wouldn't say that you've been on the road per se, but you have been traveling to make quite a bit of stand-up shows.
Yeah, in fact, earlier today was kind of funny. I was working with a booking agent earlier today to get some weekends here at the end of May. I had one weekend that was open in May, and I was like, cool. You know, finally, after about 2 months straight of being on the road and just doing gigs here in the Bay Area, I've got a weekend where I really don't have anything planned. And it's the weekend that you're actually coming up here. We might be doing a podcast live and in color for the first time in months. And the guy called and said, hey, we're going to pay you good money, feed you good food, and you know, have a nice headliner who I haven't worked with before. Would you like the gig? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And then I'm like, well, shit, that was the one weekend that I wasn't supposed to be gigging at all. And here I've got another one. So yeah, it's been nice. You know, it's good to get consistent work as a comic. You know, there's comics that listen to this that aren't getting consistent work. And I would tell you, the key is to do this more, you know, more drinking, if you can hear the rattling of the cage here. But,
yeah. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm actually in May. We're recording this in May. I'm on an Embirgo, Matt. If you're wondering what an embargo is, it's an embargo on beer. I haven't been drinking beer here in the month of May. So I'm actually drinking a margarita on the rocks that I made myself. And this is about the third one. The second one was disappointing. And I think now the reason is I forgot to put tequila in it.
Oh, so it's just fucking mix.
Just juice and salt.
Ugh, God, that's unpleasant. Why do you continue to drink?
I already sat down. I mean, what the fuck? I'm not going to get... Yeah, I'll get up when it's empty.
I'll try to refrain from the stupid questions in the future.
It wasn't a stupid question. It's a valid question. It's just... It's a stupid answer, really, if you think about it, but...
I was just trying to fucking be nice. Yes, it was a stupid
answer. Yes, it was a stupid answer. But this is smart people talking about stupid things, so I'm just living up to the moniker, my friend.
I have... It would appear as though I've softened in my absence on this show. I am drinking a fruity beer right now. I used to just stick to the snobby microbrews, and now I'm drinking Shock Top Honeycrisp Apple Wheat. And you know what? Fuck you if you don't like it, because I like fruit and I like beer, and why not just put those things together?
You know, here's my rule, and I think this has been a steadfast rule. If your beer requires you to add fruit to it in post, meaning you drop a lemon, you drop a lime,
an orange,
whatever the case may be, then it's either a shitty beer or a shitty beer drinker. Now, if your beer has fruit in it during the fermentation and beer making process, I think that's fine. So I think you skirted by the skin of your teeth, but the honey, vagina, badger, weasel ale that you're drinking right now, first of all, the name is entirely too long. That's another thing for about beer, ladies and gentlemen. If you're making beer, don't make your beer name too long. It's fucking annoying. Just give me one, two words, and then tell me what type of beer it is. I don't need the fucking screeching weasel 37.8. No, fuck that.
Well, I wonder if someone's actually licensed just beer. Like, can you just – I've never seen just beer on a bottle.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. Like, as a kid, I kind of wanted to get into advertising, and then just completely – at the time, advertisement was on TV, like in the late 90s, was super over the top, super commercialized, very much big budget explosions, celebrity guests. It's kind of scaled back a little bit, but I always wanted to get into advertising and just like have a guy holding literally like a white, you know, poster board that just says buy this product, and then it would be the logo of the product, and that would be him standing there for 30 seconds. Like, very simple, kind of the same concept, like make a beer and just call it, this is our IPA, and you know, This is our lager. Right. So I don't know. I don't think you can trademark just words, though. Like, just a word.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But you do see that in a lot of movies where the it has to be something that is not licensed already, and so you'll see that a lot where prop makers will just make something and lazily just call it beer. Just in case anyone watching the film was not entirely clear on what they were consuming.
Hey, can I ask you a question, speaking of the movie industry here? Since everybody knows the trope of the 555 prefix on the phone, can they just go away from that? Or is it, at this point, is it like a trolling thing for Hollywood to say, hey, we're always going to put the 555 prefix on there whenever you have to look at a phone number or dial something? It's so fucking annoying. It's like painfully obvious that it's a fake number.
I think it comes down to the fact that they don't want to put anyone, like a number that could be someone's actual phone number in a movie, because that could cause a whole shit heap of trouble.
Couldn't you register a phone number, and then if people were to call it, it's just like some sort of message or some sort of Easter egg for people that are following that closely? I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are doing that shit, you know, but I when I watch a movie, which is very rare, but when I watch a movie, I just want to sit back and drink and watch the movie, and that's like that 555 thing is something that's just like instantly sticks out to me, and it like takes me out of the movie watching experience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going back to the fake products, like different product names that are completely made up, entirely made up, will often show up in different films that have nothing to do with each other, and it's just a property of the person who made it. So I don't know. I don't know if the phone number thing ties into that. I don't know if that was made safe early on. You know, like nobody has a 555 number. I've never had someone give me their number and have it start with 555.
Well, that's why you can't. That's why they use it all the time, is because that's like the one prefix that you can't use for a regular number. But the funny thing about that is, like, whenever anybody wants to tell you something about like the inside scoop of Hollywood, that's always the thing that people tell you about. Like, hey, Sam, did you know that they use 555 as a fake number on all movies? It's like, yes, shithead. Everybody understands that. Yes. Yeah, it's very annoying. Tell Hollywood to stop that. Yeah. I know you have Hollywood's direct number. I believe it's 555-5555. If you could call them and tell them to stop that shit.
I will. I'll do that. I'll get right on that.
So you're drinking beer. I'm drinking tequila. Usually tequila makes me angry. So hopefully I don't drive anywhere today, because the last thing I need is a road rage incident, which I believe is kind of, you know, in a way what we're talking about, kind of in a roundabout way to get to the main topic here.
I liked how you segged into that very subtly.
Yeah, I should have pumped the brakes a little bit, and there's a pun.
So I was watching the news the other day, and for anyone who has not paid attention to the 5 million references you've made to me living in Hollywood, I live in L.A., Los Angeles.
I think there were five references to you living in Hollywood.
Okay, acceptable. There was a news report the other day claiming that Los Angeles is the number one place where road rage incidents occur in the entire country. And, you know, I think there were like four of those 10 were in California alone. But I was a little shocked to see New York at number two. I've always heard that it's just nothing but rampant dick baggery in New York, and a lot of that is to do with high volumes of traffic and anger.
I think that the key on this, and I didn't see the report because I'm up here in Northern California, but probably reported road rage incidents, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that would have to be taken into it was a legit report. So yeah, you would have to.
Yeah, my initial thought is that New York probably leads the planet in terms of road rage incidents. But I also think New Yorkers probably know enough to mind their fucking business and not be a snitch, unlike out here in California where we have to tell on everybody if we use a dick joke incorrectly. So either way, Los Angeles being the second largest market in terms of people, New York being number one, I guess it makes sense for Los Angeles to be up there. Out of curiosity, who else was on there? You said the four out of the top 10 were in California?
Yeah, I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I believe San Francisco was on there, which I can definitely agree with it being on a top 10 list for sure, but it has no business being anywhere near one or two.
You driven in San Francisco? That shit is maddening.
It's fucked up. Yeah, I mean, taking 3 hours just to get on that stupid bridge is a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Having, like, one-way streets that turn into bike lanes, which turn into pedestrian walk. Fuck you, San Francisco. I'm fucking mad just thinking about it.
Yeah, left turns. Just fucking left turns. There's just no left turns. You cannot turn left anywhere in San Francisco. You just go in circles for hours trying to figure out your fucking life and why you ended up there in this endless hell of right turns.
I agree.
What else was on there? There were some pretty obscure ones on there too, like towns I've never heard of in like fucking northern North Carolina. So I guess there's a lot of angry people in small corners of this country. But the report was immediately followed by video taken from dash cams, mostly some on cell phones, of incidents happening in LA. And that also struck me as strange because, to be fair, I've only been here for 4.5, going on 5 years. But I myself have never seen or been involved in a road rage incident playing out here. And I have, back in the Bay Area, been involved in more than a couple.
Yeah, I would say, how is that possible? Because, I mean, I without pissing you off, you'd have a little bit of a short temper, especially if things don't go exactly the way you have planned. And I have,
right.
I've been in the car with you in Los Angeles, and I've been frustrated. But you're right, you did not get frustrated. But I'm trying to figure out, how is that even possible with you?
Oh, well, I was, first of all, well, you're a little different because I feel like I can get righteously pissed off in front of you and all would be okay because I know that you'll be just as angry. We're very similar in that.
Or I'm going to laugh my ass off forever, which, by the way, I have a surprise for you with regards to this show at some point that I'm working on. So there's the tease for the audience. It has to do with kind of what we're talking about, and it's going to be hilarious. So anyways, keep going.
It's a tease for me, too, because I don't even know what the fuck you're talking
about.
No,
this is a gift from me to you as my co-host on here on Predictably Drunk, and I will reveal it when it's done. It's a project in the works.
Okay, I'm excited. You teasing bastard. I'm just going to be thinking about that for the rest of the fucking podcast. I had never been involved in it. I'm angry every single day. There's an attempt made on my life at least once a day, but I do drive to work and back. Those are two trips. So it's typically an average of two life attempts per day. I cannot escape that. It is a reality here. People are fucking useless when they are driving here. They lose their fucking minds. The brains go out of their assholes. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think a lot of it may have to do with a considerable amount of tourist traffic coming through here and people who just have no business driving vehicles. It really makes you think, I don't know that the DMV is doing this whole DMV thing right. I think that at least every 5 years, one should have to retake their fucking driver's license test, like just to make sure that they have not, maybe they didn't, yeah, I don't know, just to check in with them to ensure that they are not going to kill somebody.
See, that was 2 minutes of you talking your own self off the ledge about Los Angeles traffic, and that's exactly my point. You're not wrong in everything you just said, but it just surprises me that you have not been involved in some sort of road rage incident based on your level of bullshit you got to deal with.
I will say this. I have come close. I used to the place that I used to report to for work was at the end of this very steep hill, and only recently did I find out how fucking steep this hill was. It's called Baxter Street, and it is reportedly the fifth steepest hill in the country. We're going all out on these country statistics today. I found that out because an absolute maniac decided I am going to skateboard down that hill in an attempt to wipe himself from the face of the earth. He actually survived. He did it. He did a test run once. He did like halfway, and then he did the whole damn thing, and he lived, and it was incredible. But there was one time I was driving on this hill, and I mean, this is a straight up and down thing, like straight up and down. A school bus once tried to take this street and got stuck on the top. Because the wheels stopped giving, the wheels stopped touching ground, and the middle of the bus was stuck because it's such a palindrome. It's ridiculous. And so I was at the top of this hill trying to head home one day. This jack wagon gets to the top of the hill coming the other direction and tries to fucking U-turn on the top of this hill. And I just go, I turn ballistic on this guy. I'm just fucking calling him like all the way down the hill. I am calling him every name in the book. And he stops at the end of the hill. He stops and comes. I'm like, yeah, come on back, dude. Like get a fucking earful. Let's do whatever you are planning to do by stopping your car. And he came back, and I'm like, you can't do this. You're going to murder someone or yourself, which I'm fine with. That's fine. One less of you in L.A. stopping in the middle of the goddamn road for no reason, I'm okay with. It didn't go down because he was a reasonable human being in human relations, not in driving, clearly. Made a fucking horrible decision driving. But in human relations, he thought, you know what? I was wrong. I've not driven around here very much, and I shouldn't have done that. But you also shouldn't call people assholes. And I'm like, well, I called you an asshole because you're a fucking asshole. But that was kind of the end of it. Like, we kind of agreed to disagree, or we kind of agreed to agree. And he went about his way. That's happened two or three times where we have gotten out of the car and there was an amicable fucking weird thing where, like, okay, so this other time I'm driving behind this guy who's driving negative 2 miles per hour. Any slower, he'd be going in reverse. It's preposterous. I am a block away from my apartment. I just want to go home. It was a long day. And I know that I won't be home for another 3 hours because of this dickwad. And I'm like, I have enough. I roll down my window. I stick my head out. And I'm like, I can't even remember. The obscenities are just a blur at this point. But I made it very clear in a not nice way that this gentleman was holding me up. And he stopped the car and got out. I didn't tell him to get out, because I just wanted him out of my life at that point. He chose to get out, and of course, if I see a guy get out of his car, unless he's super huge or has a weapon, I too will exit my vehicle and approach them. And I have a new rule. I don't ever hit first. I've learned my lesson with
this
that.
This is a new rule.
Yes, this is a new rule because of an old story, which I'm sure hopefully I'll have time to tell in this segment. But he walks up to me and he's like, "What is your problem?" And I'm like, "You are my fucking problem." And I believe that the reason you don't understand that immediately is the very reason that you think it's okay to drive the way you're driving. And he's like, "Oh man, I got stuff in the car and I got a dog and I'm just trying to find a parking spot." I'm like, I don't know why any of that fucking matters. Like, it's not a reason. And I'm like, you have to share the road with other people. This is not a selfish thing. You're not on a fucking island. Like, we have to deal with you. If you decide you want to go out on the road and take your car, we have to deal with that shit. Remember that. Be considerate. And then the dude just sticks out his hand and he's like, "I'm Mark." And I'm like, this is not a fucking meet and greet. Like, I'm mad at you. What are you doing? And then, but I couldn't do anything. So I shook the guy's hand and I told him my name. And then we left. It was the weirdest thing. Like, the LA situation with road rage, that's why I was so thrown, because it's just nothing but like strange meetings with hippies out here.
Okay. Let me jump in here real quick. First of all, okay, I don't think you know what road rage means, because you just described two textbook road rage incidents. Matt, when you get out of a car to yell at somebody over something that happened in traffic, that is a road rage incident. I think we're on the air. Those are two more reported incidents for Los Angeles. Second of all, if you have to come up with a new rule of "I will not punch first because I have learned my lesson," then you've clearly had road rage incidents occur. And third of all, I don't really have a third of all. I think that's plenty. But yeah,
that's enough. That's more than enough. One was enough.
Yeah, I don't think you know what road rage means, because those are clearly road rage.
Here's the thing is that I learned man, you are really loving that margarita mix. I can just hear that. I don't know that. There it is. I learned my lesson, because when I was living up in the Bay Area, I was hanging out with some friends and we were doing a bit of day drinking. Don't judge. I'm on a show about being drunk. Fuck off. We were doing a bit of day drinking. We decided that we were all drunk enough to go get pizza. And we took two cars. I took mine. I was drinking a minimal amount to still be able to drive.
Look at you backtrack. Oh, I was drinking all day.
Yeah. I have to cover my ass. And, three or four friends piled into another car, right? So we got to Round Table Pizza, and we're sitting there in the parking lot, me and my buddy, and we're realizing that they're taking way too long to get to
you
us.
Want to Round Table Pizza when you're drunk, you gotta go to Pizza Hut, dude. Everybody fucking knows that.
Well, in our whole stomping grounds, there's no dine-in Pizza Huts. That just doesn't exist for us. That's you gotta go to like fucking Oregon for that or something. That's fancy.
Still would have been faster than Round Table.
True. But it wasn't even the service. We weren't even in Round Table. We were in the parking lot. We're like, where the hell are these guys? So I call couple times, nothing's happening, no answer. Finally, one of them calls me back and says, "We crashed the car." And we're like, "Oh, fucking Jesus." So we go way back to like literally a block away from where we were. That's as far as they got. They got a block and they rolled a 4x what was it? It was a 4Runner. He was driving a 4Runner. And we get there. The 4Runner is upside down after having tumbled a couple times. And I'm just seeing different friends on the side of the road with different injuries. There was a fucking toolbox in the back of the 4Runner. One girl caught a hammer to the head.
Jesus Christ.
It just flew right out and nailed her.
Did she did she shrink from her super self down to regular self and then have to get a mushroom to become a super person again after the hammer brother nailed her with a hammer?
I like it. We'll roll with that. Yes. Okay. The answer is yes. Another guy had a gash in his foot, right? And I'm like, okay, well, I see three. Where's the fourth? Where's the driver? Driver's in a fucking stretcher, unconscious. And I'm like, I like him more than everyone else in this car, so I'm very concerned. And they're like, okay, we're going to take him to the hospital in Walnut Creek. And I'm so scared out of my mind for him. And so we jump in the car. We rush over there. And we're driving on the freeway. It's at night now. It's now nighttime. And I switch lanes. This guy behind me thought, you know what? You shouldn't have done that. I'm going to flash my lights at you. And it wasn't even a major offense, but I know that I was driving a little bit more panicked than usual. So whatever. I take the exit coming up. I see that he's right on my ass, and he follows me, right? So I'm like, I don't want to fucking deal with this guy. But he's yelling for me to pull over, so I pull over. The first thing I do when he gets out of his car and walks towards me, I just punch him in the face. There was no discussion. There was no – I was scared for my friend. I wanted to get to the hospital, find out if he was okay. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with this fucking idiot who thinks that he's worth my time and my friend's time. So I'm just going to end this before it starts. I'm going to punch him in the face,
so,
right?
So you get out of the car. He gets out of the car. The first thing you do is punch him. Now, was this a planned punching? Like, when we get the fuck out of this car, I'm going to hit this motherfucker. Or was it just a pure instinct, like you saw him, he saw you, and you just went into fight or flight and was like, ah, boom!
I think it was more of that one. I think it was more of the latter. Okay. I just, you know, I saw this fucker's face, and I'm just like, why? Why do you think that this is okay? Like, I'm busy. I'm going to see my friend. I got shit going on. What the fuck? So I punch him. Then a random dude in a truck pulls over, having seen me punch him, and now this guy wants to fight me because his stance is you can't just punch people, dude. Knowing nothing of no context or anything, knowing no prior information. Just saw one man punching another man and decided, I want to jump in on this punching party. And so he's now trying to fight me, and the guy that I punched is telling him not to punch me for reasons I don't fucking understand. I'm still a little drunk at this point, so I'm fucking out of my mind with wonder here. And I just decide, fuck it, number one goal here is to get to the hospital. Let's go. So me and my friend get back in our car. We go to the hospital. I go in. I realize this guy that I punched is now following me still. And we pull into the parking lot. I park. I go to the front desk. I realize that my friend is not at this hospital. It's at a different hospital. It was John fucking Muir at the hospital that no one goes to in Walnut Creek, not the main one. And so I come out. And two fine police officers are waiting for me. And so this guy called the cops and tracked me down to be able to tell the police where I ended up, basically. And so the cops, you know, asked me the questions. Hey, what happened? Hey, did you punch him? Hey, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. And I was just honest. You know, I told him everything that happened. Told him, yes, I punched him. They're like, all right, we got to go talk to this dude for a second. They go away. They come back. And they're like, okay, well, don't punch people anymore.
Good advice.
And I'm like, okay, but what? And they're like, he's not pressing charges. And I was like, well, what the fuck was all this for? And the thing I took away from it was don't cut people off and then punch them. I don't know. But this guy went way, way out of his way to make a point. With police involved and all that. Anyway, long story short, I got to the hospital and my friend was fucking fine. So
I like the fact that in that story, the guy who you cut off, who called the cops on a drunk driver, who stopped you from getting your face caved in by another random guy and eventually did not press charges is somehow the asshole
in the
story.
Was a total jerk. Yeah.
This guy sounds great. Do you have his number by chance?
He's the new co-host of Predictably Drunk. Yeah.
Hopefully his phone number doesn't start with 555.
555-555-555. So I'm sure that you, because you have a distaste for buffoonery as much as I, I'm sure you have a story to tell in this regard.
Yeah, man, shit. I don't have nearly the long rap sheet of felonious activities that you do, nor does my road rage come from a place of drinking. Mine is just pure emotion and rage.
Okay.
The one I can think of, I'm sure there's been, you know, a few minor skirmishes here and there, but when I was like 22, 23, I was in San Leandro, California, and they had a Togo's there that made this kind of really hot barbecue beef sandwich. And, you know, it's Togo, so it wasn't good, but by Togo standards, it was good. And they always put, like, extra sauce in it, and it was so drippy and nice and lovely. Oh, it was great.
Soaking up the bread. So,
yeah. And so I was in a hurry, so I order it, and I jump in my car, and I'm like, fuck, I'm just going to eat it while I drive because I had to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. Well, that area is right where 880 goes over to 238, and you can get over to 580, that whole, you know, not MacArthur Maze, but that whole area right there. And I'm getting onto the freeway, and I'm trying to merge, and this guy sees me. He clearly sees me because he kind of acknowledges me and then speeds up as I speed up and then slows down while I slow down. Mm-hmm. And he's clearly fucking with me and not letting me merge over, and I'm going to have to get off on the next exit as opposed to merging onto the freeway. So eventually I just kind of slam on the brakes so that he goes ahead and I go behind him, and, you know, kind of dangerous because you're on the freeway, but I didn't have any other recourse other than to just drive off the fucking freeway on the next exit, and I wasn't going to be even later. Fuck that. So I speed up to the other side of him, and I'm kind of looking at him like, dude, what the fuck? And I threw my hands up. Well, he tells me to roll down my window. I roll down my window, and he leans out, and he's like, fuck you, motherfucker. I fucking hate you. I'm going to fucking kill you. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are. Like, I was literally just trying to get on the freeway, and like, I was like, I don't know who this guy is. And I'm kind of looking at him, and I don't know anything about this guy. I honestly don't. And I was going to fight back, like I was going to start screaming back while we're both driving 70 miles an hour on the freeway. And I look over, and in the passenger seat, there's a kid, like a little kid, like a 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid. Okay. So I just kind of like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm going to leave this alone. So I just kind of like wave to him and say, you know, whatever. You go be a bad person elsewhere. Well, he speeds up again, and he's flipping me off, and he's yelling and screaming at me. And then he gets up in front of me and cuts me off. And now he's playing chicken with a kid in the car, which is completely, you know, irrational and irrelevant, and or not irrelevant, but irrational. So I'm starting to get pissed off because now he's taking my life into, you know, into his hands as well as his own kid. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Yeah. So we're starting to jaw back and forth. And eventually I kind of get mad, and I'm driving, and I'm coming up to the 238 exit. So I grab my sandwich, and my driver's side window's down, and I hook it like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just right outside the car.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to maybe hit the top of the car, or, you know, let it fly by so he knows that I threw something at him, right? Just to kind of let him know, hey, look, kind of like your guy, this is a warning, motherfucker. Right. Like, I can throw sandwiches and, you know, well, maybe that's it, but I can throw a fucking sandwich at you. So, unbeknownst to me, I throw it, and it's the best basketball shot I've ever shot in my life with this sloppy barbecue sandwich, because it cascades over the top of my car, dripping meat as it goes by. And completely splatters on his windshield and explodes. Yes. Like it looked like a grenade of barbecue sauce blew up all over his windshield. He kind of does the whole like Hollywood swerve thing where he kind of goes left right real quick, and he can't see a thing. I see him have to turn the windshield wipers off to try to wipe the fucking Togo's soggy bag and sandwich off of his windshield. He eventually has to pull over on the side of the road. Now I got to tell you, Matt, I felt awful because there's a kid in the car.
Right.
Who's got to be terrified, absolutely fucking terrified.
For all that kid knows, the dad just like fucking gored a bird or some shit.
Well, I mean, first of all, that kid was clearly abused. I mean, this guy was flipping out over no reason. I know he's taking it out on this kid. But anyhow, so I look in the rearview mirror, and this guy's getting out of the car, and he's like sort of running towards me, even though I'm clearly... Yeah, I'm like 70 miles an hour and clearly separating myself from this guy at this point. But he was so fucking red with anger for whatever reason. And again, I didn't do anything to get on. He was already on the freeway when I was getting on the freeway. He just didn't want me to merge on for whatever fucking reason. And he's like running towards me. And at this point, I'm like, well, if a cop were to see this, I'm the one that's probably going to get in trouble. But my exit was right there, so I just swooped onto 238. And went towards 580, towards the East Bay, away from San Leandro and the Togo bomb. And I don't know to this day what happened to that truck, that boy, or that sandwich, or that man. But that was about the only road rage incidents I have ever had was nailing a guy with a Togo bomb.
I'll tell you though, I mean that's pretty impressive. Throwing a sandwich in a moving car on a freeway is not an easy thing to do.
I can't do that. I couldn't replicate that. Like, I tried multiple times since then. Like, I'll just chuck things out of my car, even if I'm parked, just to see if I can, like, hit the side of something. And I could never do it. Like, I hit the side of my car, or I just drop it, or whatever the fuck happens. It was an impossible shot.
I remember I was on a shoot. It was the very first weekend of a movie that I was making. You were heavily involved in that yourself, and we were all extremely delirious. We had been up for probably 24 hours. It was 9 a.m. We had started shooting, I think, at like 6 p.m. prior.
Was this at the hospital?
Yeah, it was.
I know exactly.
And so we're all just out of our minds with exhaustion, and we had kind of catered. I mean, it was probably a good 50 or 60 people who were involved in that scene, and we had catered with Togo sandwiches, and we had a fair amount left over just in a cooler. And my friend, who was just completely delirious, drives up alongside of me on the San Mateo Bridge. We're going 70 miles, 75 miles per hour. And he's like, "Hey, I'm hungry." And I'm like, "All right." And he's like, "Toss me a sandwich." And so we're like, "All right, you know, the cooler's right here." So we pull out a sandwich, just soggy as shit. It's been a sandwich. The longer a sandwich is a sandwich, the worse it is. And this particular sandwich had been a sandwich for entirely too many hours. And so with no effort whatsoever, my passenger friend, Chris, shout out to Mr. Chris Avanzino, hucks this sandwich at Brandon in his general direction. The thing fucking completely disintegrates the second it leaves the atmosphere of our car and showers the San Mateo Bridge with soggy sandwich leavings, just showers it. And of course, because that happened, we had to try it again. And after like three sandwiches, we just said, fuck it, we went to IHOP. But I mean, it's a hard thing to do to throw a sandwich out of a moving vehicle while on the freeway.
Yeah, I mean, now mine wasn't quite as long a sandwich as yours. I mean, yours was a full-grown, able to vote and drink legally sandwich. Mine was more of a three-nager type sandwich. But you mentioned Brandon. We don't have time on this episode here, Predictably Drunk. But if anybody deserves to disintegrate on a bridge, it's that motherfucker. Based on that day's shoot of the movie, we'll talk about that another time. Yeah. But I that wasn't a road rage incident, but that was a standing next to a guy rage incident that I wanted to fucking break that guy in half for what he did.
That whole weekend is possibly a three-part podcast episode.
it ruined me on a lot of things, including Brandon. I can't even imagine what you're dealing with. But nonetheless, this is Predictably Drunk. This was, I guess we're going to call this the road rage incident. I don't know what else to call it. That's probably what we'll call this one. Apt. So let's wrap this one up. Anything you want to promote, plug, or talk about before we call this one quits?
Yeah, May 20th, go see The Nice Guys. It's a film that I've been working on for about a year. It's a fine R-rated comedy. It takes place 1970s Los Angeles. And it's hysterical. It's the same director as Iron Man 3 and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, two people who I think many never knew to be funny until this, and they're hysterical. Ryan Gosling is actually a very, very funny guy. So go check that out May 20th in theaters.
That's what I need as a comic, the good-looking actor to be a funny guy and take those roles too. Lovely. I didn't know you were working on that. That's good to go. So May 20th, The Nice Guys in theaters near you. Also May 20th, I'll be at CAPS in Brentwood, as well as May 21st, working with somebody whose name I already forgot. That's not good. I think I'm working with David Dugar, if I'm not mistaken, who's a very funny man. He's been all over the world traveling, and now he's at CAPS in Brentwood. So you can find me there. If you're listening to this after that, you can find me July 10th at the Cobbs in San Francisco, Cobbs Comedy Club.
That's awesome.
So it's part of the summer comedy bash tour, or whatever the hell they're calling that thing. Other than that, you guys can go to predictablydrunk.com, find the entire offering of this fine here little podcast, predictablydrunk.com. You can also find all of my tour dates there. What else can they do, Matt? I guess they can go on iTunes and you guys can rate us.
Yes,
you guys can give us 5 stars. The more you guys interact with our show by giving us ratings and 5 stars and all that fun stuff, the more iTunes releases us to more people. So we would appreciate that if you guys could do that for us. And other than that, I'm going to go get myself another margarita. You go drink your fruity ass beer. Woo. And stay away.
I'm going to throw an orange slice in it this time.
Yeah, well, make sure it doesn't disintegrate on the San Mateo Bridge when you do it. Until then, let's the guy who announces things, Mr. Ross Baker, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye, and we'll do the same.
Thanks, Ross.
Until next time, keep drinking.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. That's pale, rustic. I don't think that anyone